Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
them. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back, everybody. Felger and Maz, Hour 2 from our TD Garden Star Market Studios, where we are joined by former Patriots linebacker Ted Johnson. How you doing, Teddy?
Guys, what's going on?
What's up, Ted?
It's good to see you guys. Thanks for having me in today.
It's always a pleasure. And since we don't really do pleasantries or grab ass,
we'll grab ass later.
We'll just go right into it. Exactly.
Let's grab ass
during the break. Give me your thought on this game. If this game were played on a neutral site, who wins?
Chargers win this game. Chargers win this game because when you take it in the context, if both teams were equally rested, if it was a neutral site, all things being equal in that regard, then I think the Chargers win. I think there's just a better team, top to bottom. They have a better roster. They have a more complete team, a more balanced team, and they have grit, and they have toughness, a collective mental toughness that you haven't seen from the Texans.
Did you ever think you would see it from the San Diego Chargers?
No.
A Chargers team with some grit.
That's a good point. Look, I grew up in SoCal. I've been a fan of that team for a long time, and they've really just they've always kind of fallen short. I've always kind of clumped the San Diego Chargers / LA Chargers in with the Houston Texans. A lot of fluff, and can win some regular season games, every now and then. But when it really comes down to it, have lacked the mental fortitude to kind of get over that hump. And so that's the history of the San Diego Chargers / LA Chargers. This is a different team, though. You got to give them some credit for what they've been able to do on the road. Very hard environment: Seattle, Denver, Kansas City, Baltimore. To go do it in that way to win those games in those settings. The fact that they just played on Wild Card Weekend in a very physical game, it's going to matter, guys. I know
I
believe in that too.
So it matter. Yep. For them in a good way or a bad way?
Bad way. Bad way. Guys, I got to go to four Super Bowls, and I think every one I got to go to, I always had a bye week, okay? So I remember the 2003-04 team. I'm sitting there with Larry Izzo up in Vermont, chilling, drinking wine over Wild Card Weekend, and we're just watching guys play. Oh, did you see his knee? Oh, did you see his neck get jammed? And it just gives us more and more confidence. I mean, because having to play Wild Card Weekend, that really tees it up for the divisional home team getting to host that wild card team. That's going to be a factor. I know it's not fun to talk about or sexy to talk about, but the fact they got to go out to the East Coast
so hold on,
will play a factor, Michael.
Okay, so you're saying in a neutral site, it's the Chargers.
It's the Chargers.
Okay, equal rest, it's the Chargers,
yep.
But it's not neutral site, it's not equal rest, and you think those things are
they don't matter.
Okay.
They all add up. You can throw a lot of these different little things into a pot, stir it up, and I think it will be the difference in the game. I mean, look, but
so you're picking the Patriots, then?
I got the Patriots in this game.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident in that, too.
You have a list of reasons why.
I do.
And are those 1 and 2?
Those are 1 and 2.
Okay,
exactly.
So
one and two. Yes.
So 1 and 2. One is home field. Second is travel.
Look at this. It's like Bedard. He's got his little.
Here's one.
But isn't that a red
in Wild Card Weekend? That they've already played a very physical game against a very physical Baltimore team. That carries over into the next game. It just does. It's not fun to talk about, but it's true. And then the second one is the back-to-back East Coast trips. Those are my 1 and 2.
Okay. I hate that. I hate the East Coast-West Coast thing. And I'm not telling you you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I know how you guys travel. Right? It's not like how people travel. I don't know if fans fully appreciate, that it's just not the same. And Ted, it's a 5-hour flight coming out this way. You're not flying to Tibet.
I get it, but it's just but football is a very physical game. I mean, it the travel, the physicality of it, having to go schlep back and forth. And a lot of times these games, it's just a little thing that makes the difference. It's going to be a factor. Is it the factor? No, but will it play a part? I think in the Patriots winning this game, absolutely.
Okay, I think if that's where you start though with why the Pats will win, home field, travel.
Did I tell you my number three?
I mean, shouldn't that be a red flag?
Well, right, because it means you don't believe in the team.
It means, you're right.
Right, so I like that. That's okay. Honestly, I feel the same way you do. I haven't picked yet in this game, by the way. I'm doing that tomorrow.
Okay, all right. Okay,
I'm doing that tomorrow. But I look at the rosters. I say the Chargers are better. The other variable for me with the Chargers, and I don't know if this is on your list or not, is the coach. I just don't know. He's coming into Foxborough against Bill Belichick. Do you know anything about Anthony Lynn?
I don't.
And is he one of your variables in this game?
Look, I have to give the edge to the Patriots in that. Now, you guys have made good points, kind of like, you know, it's always been in Bill we trust with you, but he's made a couple decisions that are kind of, you know, where you're wondering there. But I trust this coaching staff to put a really good game plan together. The Patriots historically always get better towards the end of the season. Why? Always get better because teams, they've shown everything they can do. The data's out there. They can disseminate it. They can analyze it, and they can put game plans together that are better than any other coaching staff out there. And so that's what separates Belichick from the rest of them. Anthony Lynn, he's kind of a new. Well, he's only been there for a couple of years. He's kind of new. I'm not really sure what he's capable. But the fact that he has his team playing as well as they've been playing on the road in their home bases, you know, whatever, it's disconnected from really their fan base. That shows you the guy can connect with these guys, that they're buying into whatever it is he's selling.
Ted Johnson joins us here in studio from the Garden. You have a list of reasons how the Patriots win this game. What's three?
All right, number three is you cannot deny the difference that the Patriots are home versus away. Okay, point differential, got it. It's like, it's a huge discrepancy. It's like almost 12, 13 points better at home versus on the road. But then all the little kind of subcategories within that home versus away, they're a much better passing team at home, much better running team at home, much better defending the pass at home, much better defending the pass at home. So it's just a night and day different team, so that's got to factor in somehow, some way.
Isn't that the sign? No, again, I recognize the games in Foxborough.
Sign of a weak team?
Yes.
Kind of. Yeah, it is, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. Why can't this team win on the road? So the first thing I think of when a team that has issues going on the road is what usually? They're a young team. It's youth. Okay, well, a young team, they don't know how to win on the road. This is the fourth oldest team in the NFL. Right? So that's the shocking thing about it. Then there's really no clear explanation for it, you know? And so that's one thing that I'm shaking my head is how can you believe in this team when they haven't really shown a lot of grit and guile when they play on the road. You know, they like the comfy, home kind of thing. And look, that's okay for a little bit, but they got to go to Kansas City and play the Chiefs next week.
Different story.
Tonight, Irene.
Number four.
All right. Number four, have you noticed how the quarterback for the Chargers, one Philip Rivers, is playing as of late?
Poorly. Yeah, last 3 weeks.
Yeah, he hasn't been good.
That's got to factor in. And he's the kind of guy that Belichick's going to go into that defense meeting room, and he's going to say to this defense, he's going to say, guys, he's going to throw you one. Philip Rivers will throw you one. Ben Roethlisberger will throw you one. Andrew Luck has a history of throwing you one.
He used to say that about
Peyton
Brett Favre,
Manning,
too, right?
Brett Favre will throw you one. When he throws you one, make the play. Make the play. And so he's had 12 interceptions all season, okay, of Philip Rivers. 6 in the last 3 games. And if you look at his performance in last week's game, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 160 yards on 31 attempts. That's not really that impressive. So I think part of what's going to factor in the Patriots winning this game and why having to win this game is the fact that Philip Rivers just hasn't been playing at the level he was playing at earlier in the season.
I'm just looking. I put on my reading glass. How many numbers do you have for the Patriots win? Is that 13?
Yeah, but I
we're not going to get to 13.
But some of these in here you're not going to like.
Give me 5. Give me the wall. Okay, give me ones I won't
like.
Don't like 4 of them.
Here's one. You're going to turn your nose up to me on this one like you did the first two. Philip Rivers never beaten Tom.
What does that mean?
It means something.
It does.
Again, throw it in the pot with all the other things, stir it up, and it means something.
Had you ever won a Super Bowl in 2001?
No, that's true. But
had you ever beaten the Pittsburgh Steelers in you did in '96.
So if Brady were playing, if Brady were playing Eli this week, would you pick Eli? No.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. But I'm just thinking psychologically. Don't kid yourself. That's gonna human nature. Okay. Just these guys are cyborgs. Most of them. All right. I know, but they're still human. All right. And Philip Rivers in the back of his head, 0-4 in Foxborough, 0-7 against Tom. you know, that's there's some psychological edge to it. Again, throw it in the pot with all the other things I mentioned. It will be a factor.
What else won't we like on your list?
Yeah, the only thing, what else do I have on here?
Give me number five.
Okay, number five is the injuries. Melvin Gordon. All right. And, you know, you got Hunter Henry coming back off an ACL, first game back since May. What are we going to expect? So there's some injuries. They had a corner. They got a concussion last week. That could be an issue.
The Gordon thing, by the way, I have a prediction. He'll be LT in 07. He's going to start
He'll
beg out. Wow.
He'll start the game. Couple of, you know.
Too cold.
My over-under for him being on the field and the trainers having to come out is about the beginning of the second quarter. If he's still playing.
I mean, the trainers came out early against Baltimore last week.
Exactly.
He stayed in the game.
Well, he came back. But this one, they'll. My prediction is he won't make it to halftime.
He feels tougher than LT to me.
Well, he's physical.
Yeah, he's a tougher team, though. He's a tougher mind. You know, I think Melvin Gordon's probably, you know, in that same mindset as the rest of you. I think he's pretty tough, okay? Last one that you're not – the weather.
Oh,
it's cold. It's cold, man.
Here we go.
These guys aren't used to playing in it. They get in it, and they all of a sudden –
this is a red flag.
They're all talking about, hey, are you going long sleeves? What are you doing? You know, Vaseline up? What are you – you know, they're thinking about it.
This is a red flag, Ted. When you tell me a team's going to win because of stadium, weather, travel, mystique, past record, you're not telling me they're going to win because they have a better offensive line or that they're going to control the trenches or that.
Well, typically in this team's history.
Their D-backs match up well against their receivers.
Well, I still got 7, 8, 9, and 10 against them.
One of the first things you list.
I didn't hear one football reason.
Wait, one of the first things you list typically in a Patriots playoff game is Brady will do fill in the blank to this defense.
I don't hear Brady on that list.
Verb you're looking for is castrate.
You know what? Thank you. The biggest one, I missed it. I missed the biggest one. I'm sorry. Something, there you go. Here's a good football reason for it, okay, Felgie? Something clicked for that offense in the Jets game.
Oh, it's the Jets.
They were already had their plans to Vegas.
You took the cheese.
Okay, it's a glorified scrimmage. I get it. But they passed. There's the best. That offense has looked all season long. It was the second game without Josh Gordon, so that has a Okay, now, oh my God. You got Phil, what's the number 13? Why am I?
Philip Dorsett.
All of a sudden, he's like making plays. All right, and don't kid yourself, your boy Cordell Patterson.
Oh, please.
He's going to have a game now. offensive weapon, that guy. So here's the point. Philip Dorsett. Hogan, all those guys got – it looked like the old Patriot offense, didn't it? Everybody was getting involved. Everybody was making plays. Everybody was chipping in. Something clicked, okay? It's the Jets, Ted. I don't care. Glorified scrimmage or not, they look good in that last little tune-up before this division.
Yeah, you know what clicked for me in the Jets game? My remote. I turned the game off. It sucked. It was useless as far as I'm concerned.
For you guys and for this job, maybe, but for them – something clicked. They'll give him confidence going in this game just because of how they played in that Jets game.
It's like I'm telling you, he moved back here, and all of a sudden he's like, he's on the Kool-Aid again.
No, again. You got your Pat Patriot underwear on, there, Teddy?
Hey, no. I think I'm fair.
You are.
Okay, but you want to get here? You got one more thing. All right, what the Chargers where they are as far as ranking against running backs in the passing game in the NFL this year?
Last.
Yeah, they're last.
Yeah.
I heard, the Patriots got a lot of diverse kind of guys in the backfield that can maybe do some damage there.
So to me, what that does when we is White. I just think you're going to see a ton. To me, if I'm the Patriots, I put the ball in his hand 20 times in this game, 15 at a minimum.
But
see,
you know what?
This is how I know they respect you, Ted, because I brought up that same thing yesterday, and it had to do with yardage, and I got called an idiot.
No, you want a running back to run the ball. You want to throw to him all day long.
Running backs against the pass, they're the worst, but it was in terms of yardage, and I got yelled at.
Targets.
One thing I will say about the running game, and you guys have been just crapping all over it. It's been fun to listen to. It's going to play a big factor in this game.
Oh, Jesus.
Early on.
I agree. This is one week where it matters.
It's a heavyweight fight. You know, you don't go in there doing, hey, mate, you jab. You hit the midsection. Jab. All those hits early on, run it right at him. That'll slow Melvin Ingram's ass down. That'll slow Joey Bosa down. All right, hammer the rock at him. And then you kind of just work the midsection, and then you open up in the second half.
All right, come on, Max. We're going to work the midsection with Johnny. We're going to follow up on that thing with your phone calls. Don't go anywhere. Ted Johnson joining us here on Felger and Mazz.
You're listening to Felger and Mazz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
You mentioned Sony Michel.
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful. What I don't see is first round talent. That's what I don't see more than anything else. First pick? If you told me you took him in the fifth, fine. Fifth rounder, like whatever. First round, you took a first round pick on that guy, let alone that it's a running back. But on this running back, to me, he takes like baby steps. Like I feel like I'm watching Keith Byers run. That's number one. He's not that big. Feels like he doesn't withstand a hit very well on top of it.
I just don't see the speed and the explosiveness.
I don't see anything. Like I look at that and go, a first round pick for that guy? I texted Murray when I saw it. He said, this guy sucks. First round pick. That, with all the needs you have, that's what you used it on? Holy crap. I don't see it. What we're seeing right now?
Scary.
Bad.
No, scary, scary, scary.
All right, again, to be clear, Maz is taking that all back. Strong take. I think that was week two.
A little harsh.
Oh, it was early, yeah. It was Detroit, wasn't it?
I was ready to cut him.
It was week three.
Week three.
Yeah, it was week three. It was week three.
I was ready
You'd
to cut
enough,
him.
You've seen enough, huh?
Oh, my God. I was ready to cut his ass.
So you've taken back the sucks and the blows.
Yeah, he doesn't suck. He's okay.
Okay. But I think the piece of when I watch him, I still don't see like explosiveness or first-round talent or sort of game-breaking talent. I still don't see that.
I don't see anything special.
I see another decent running back. That's all I see. So you know how I feel about those guys. You can find those in the eighth round, meaning undrafted. You don't have to go to the first round to find that kind of talent, and I still believe that until he shows me something different. Sucks and blows a little strong. If they need to put the ball in Sony Michel's hands this week, Ted Johnson, how do you feel about that?
I feel good.
Oh,
I feel,
my God.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's look back at some of these games. Okay. Some of these games, do you know what was – you know what – when the offense was stagnant, you know what got that offense going? You know, I could just hear Belichick saying to Josh, let's go get 21 in the game. Get 21 personnel in the game. Get James Devlin in the game. Get Sony Michel in the game. And let's run it right at him.
Two tight ends, one receiver. Is that what that is?
21. Oh, it's two running backs.
Two backs.
One tight end.
Two backs.
It's
tight end.
21 personnel.
Power.
Two backs, one tight end, two wide receivers. That was what 11 personnel is today back in the 80s and 90s. That was like the personnel group. Fullback, it was what the Cowboys won all their Super Bowls with, okay? It was that 21. This year they bring in 21. The number 46 comes in at a lead block for so, and it's like basically, Sony, just follow 46.
Okay, but
that's – once they start bringing that personnel group in, Tony, all of a sudden they start hammering it, and all of a sudden it lights a fire under the passing game too.
Okay, so but again, you're talking about sort of a mentality of adding a fullback, a tight end, power up, especially if the Chargers have a smaller defensive front. And so, fine. Like, I'm talking about the player now. Michel.
Okay.
Like, if you were playing linebacker, would you be scared of playing against Sony Michel?
No. No. You know what I'd be scared of? Definitely. That offensive line. Okay? It's a really... Do you know when people ask me, you go, who's your favorite... Or who's the toughest guy you ever beat against? What running back? You know what I say? I always say Terrell Davis. You know why I say Terrell Davis? Partly is because he had the best offensive line in the NFL at that time. And so it made playing Terrell Davis a hell of a lot harder. The Patriots, whether you want to give them credit or not, that offensive line, is damn good at run blocking. That's one of the best. And you can put eight guys in the box. It doesn't matter. Teams load up the box to stop it, and they still can't stop 21 James Devlin, fullback, leading the way for Sony Michel. But you got to, you know, one knock I do have against Sony Michel is in today's NFL, you got to do more than just run the football. You got to be able to block and pass protection, and you also got to catch the ball. This guy the one thing that's kind of shocking is that they come in and have success with that personnel grouping is because it's very predictable. It's like if James Devlin's in the game is run. I mean, very rarely do they run play action out of that set, and they never throw it to Sony Michel out of the back.
They throw to Devlin more than they throw to Sony Michel, which is ridiculous.
So there's some stability in it, and there's some limitations, it looks like, in his game. But just what they're asking him to do is just run it behind Devlin. He's good at that.
Yeah, unless it's down at the goal line, then they give it to Devlin.
617, let's take some calls for Ted. 617-779-0985. Billy in Rhode Island, quickly on that running game.
How you doing? The thing I want to mention, I agree with Ted, the backs going out for passes, and Philip Dorsett's going to be a big player in this game. I really believe that. And on defense, I think that these receivers are going to he's going to throw it up to somebody. I should say Devin McCourty's going to be what guy that has to pick him off. He should be.
How do you like the Chargers? Thanks, Blake. I'll just cut you off there. How do you like the Chargers receivers versus the Patriots defensive backs?
I would say if all things were equal, I'd give it, you know, the Chargers receivers are pretty impressive. I mean, they are. Mike Williams is starting to figure it out. I mean, they got really good wide receivers.
And they're big.
You know, and then they got their little version of Cordell Patterson with Travis Benjamin. He's really good too. So, look, I give the edge to the receivers for the Chargers on that, Mac. But you know, the secondary's played well. I mean, the secondary's done a pretty good job of limiting big plays, and they've shown, you know, they're the strength of that defense. That front seven, please. That secondary is more of a strength for the – and J.C. Jackson, I think, has been a pleasant surprise for this team.
Patriots tickets coming up. Free Patriots tickets coming up in mere minutes, so don't leave your radio. On the Patriots front seven in the run defense, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, not impressed. I've been shocked by what I've been seeing, quite honestly. Malcolm Brown, are you kidding me? He's done nothing. I mean, nothing. And I was really shocked.
No, he sucks and blows.
Yep, he sucks and blows. I'll concur with you on that. But the shocking thing to me was, you know, early in the season, I'm the biggest Felger and Mads fan there is, and you too, Jim. And here's the thing is I'm shocked that you guys were going after, the tight end for how much he's been getting paid, just to block, right?
Yeah, Dwayne Allen. Yeah, yeah.
What's Dante Hightower been doing? I mean, Dante Hightower, who's out there for 74% of the plays. He's inside. He's outside. He's that dynamic, you know, signal caller. He's the flag carrier. He's the guy that's the straw that stirs the drink for that defense, right? I mean, historically, that he's been that guy, right?
Used to be.
Not even close. Not even close. And there's sometimes where I just feel I'm just looking at that tape, and I'm like, he's so disengaged. You know, there's a lot. I mean, when you're on that field for that many snaps, percentage of snaps, and you're not in the top three on the team in tackles, not even the top five, not even in the top 10 for most of the season. I think he just bumped up into it. But that was a little bit surprising to me that Dante Hightower has played at that level this year, and nobody's really talking about it.
Is he
and
too
that's Bill's guy.
Is he too beat up from injury? Is it an effort thing?
You know, that's a good question. I was thinking, you know what, Jim? I was watching him early in the season. I'm like, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he's hurt. You know, week three and four and five, I'm thinking, okay, six, he's still playing. All right, nice. He had a nice interception against Kansas City. That was a nice little play. You know, block punt was great. What else? I mean, this guy, the rest of the season, he's looked disengaged. And then
is the defense still set up for him to get those tackles? So that, you know, I mean, we don't look at tackle stats. I mean, I almost never do, but it's interesting. Middle linebacker, you know, who plays that much. It's not like he's just a first down guy when you play 74% of the snaps. Should not rank whatever it is, eighth or ninth in tackles.
Yeah, he should be a lot more productive. A lot more productive. And tackles is about attitude. It's about want-to. It's about getting to the ball. And then when you get there, you make an effort to make the play. too many times I'm watching, he just looks like he's waiting for somebody else to make plays. So something's not right with
So we should have been bashing Hightower early in the year.
Dwayne Allen got
give us a text.
Cordell Patterson.
Which we were.
Give us a text and let us know, man. I'll bash anyone you want. No problem.
I mean, so, and you were saying you're surprised he's out there as much as he is given what he's produced.
Okay. And this goes back to what I feel like Belichick, he's a different coach now than he was when I played for him. He would never stand for that kind of lack of production. You know, you keep rolling out Malcolm Brown. You keep rolling out Dante Hightower. And, look, you know, Kyle Van Noy, tell me what Kyle Van Noy does that's really good.
I think he's had a good year. I think he's consistent. I think he's – I mean, look, he's been good.
Okay. He's okay.
G.
Point is, small G.
Okay.
But Belichick would bench guys. He would take away their snaps. He would play mind games. He would get you thinking, oh, man, I don't see a sense of urgency in anybody on this defense because you know what they're all doing? It's like when Pete Carroll was the coach. You know, when Pete was the coach, I was like, if you were on that opening day roster, you were good the rest of the way. You know, he didn't churn his roster during the season, and you could kick back, and it doesn't matter. You were the starter week one. You're going to be the starter week 16. Heck, if you weren't getting it done, I'd walk into that place, and it smacks you right in the face when you open the door to go to Gillette. You better be ready to go every single day, or he'll find somebody else to replace you. He doesn't do that anymore. I just don't see him docking guys. There's no consequences for bad plays, what it looks like to me sometimes. And that's, I don't know, Bill's getting older. Maybe he just, you know, he's just like,
chill, Bill.
I don't want to. That's too much to have to deal with. Well, you know, I don't have to deal with that.
You may focus on the linebackers too. You know, for obvious reasons.
There's a lot of guys. D line, Malcolm Brown.
Their front seven's not that good, and their linebacking core still sucks. Which is why we think Van Noy is improved. He's one guy out there that doesn't completely.
He's been their best linebacker. He has been.
He's been their best linebacker. That's fair to say.
So that's damning with faint praise, maybe. Yeah. But you know, and I thought. And so it's sort of on scale. I thought Van Noy wasn't even really I thought he was a fringe roster player when he got here. So to elevate to be their best linebacker, he's better than they thought he was. So, you know, to be fair to him.
There's one other guy that I'm a little bit surprised that is on this roster, considering he's going into his last year's his deal and he's played really well. And they drafted him, they've developed him. And word is that they were talking contract extension. But
Flowers?
Yes. Why is Trey Flowers on his team? Why hasn't he been shipped to Cleveland like the other guys? It's, you know, and that's another thing where I look at Bill. It's like, has Bill lost his stinger a little bit? You know, because, you know, the word is that he's asking for big money. He's not agreeing with whatever the Patriots want to offer him.
Usually they deal you off a year early and,
See ya. Chandler Jones. See ya. And Jamie Collins. See ya. Lawyer Malloy. See ya. You don't want to accept the contract that we're giving you? Later. Trey Flowers still on this team.
Thank God he is, because they don't have much else up there.
Yep.
Felger and Maz.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The book is closed, you know, and I was thankful for the opportunity to meet with Green Bay, and always gives you greater insight into another organization and how they do things. It's been very educational for me every time I've gone through it. And I've appreciated every single one of them. That was great, but no, I'm completely focused on the Chargers and our season and finishing it strong, and I'll be here, you know, moving forward.
That's Josh McDaniels. I want Ted's take on the Josh McDaniels situation and the coaching in general across the league, because I know you have a thought on it.
Why is that audio just kind of just crawls up my backside
why?
A little bit? Because it's so just... like all these opportunities, I'm just so thankful for. Oh, my God, I just learned something every time. And none of them offer you, huh? So you just go to you're a professional job interviewer, you know?
He's had 17 interviews since he's come back.
You know what he's like? Have you ever seen the show Rehab Addict, where they're addicted to going to rehab? treatments. I've been to a few, right? You go in there, all you do is talk about yourself, and and supportive, and right? He's like a rehab addict. He likes to go get interviewed, I think.
He does.
We've been saying he's a CT, he's a coach tease.
Oh, yeah. But don't you think
he wants to be wanted?
He gets off to
Yes, absolutely.
He gets off to wanting, being wanted, Tony. You're exactly right. And it's like, enough already. Like, I mean, he's kind of one of those guys that exploits his sweetness. Like the, hey, Josh. I mean, I love the
conference call.
The conference call was great. It's like, all right, I used to exploit my sweetness, all right? But you grow out of that stage, right? Like, come on, man, be a man. So the Josh McDaniels thing is a little annoying to me. So that's just – it's more of an annoyance thing, and it's more like I wish you would just kind of stop it because you obviously are leaking a lot of these – I mean, all of a sudden, Josh McDaniels is the hot name week 7 of the NFL.
Okay, that was out of nowhere, wasn't it?
Yes, no. Okay.
How about the coaches around the league?
Yeah. Cardinals, what are you doing? Arizona Cardinals. Because
were you here when Kingsbury was here?
Cliff was a rookie in 2004, my last year. So I played 1 year with Cliff. I like Cliff Kingsbury, okay? But to be a head – are you kidding me? The fact that they hired him as a head coach is a joke to me. It's an absolute joke. So you're telling me now what the new – the new kind of model is to go get the young, hot shot offensive
Sean
McVay guy? All right, good luck selling that to a bunch of old veterans in a locker room that are going to look at this guy and go, what are you bringing to the table? Your GQ looks and the fact that you coached Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes. What did you do at Texas Tech, Cliff? You didn't do much there. And have you seen the defenses that he had at Texas Tech? They were horrible. Here's the point, all right? It takes more than just an innovative offensive mind, young up-and-coming type of offensive coordinator. To think that will make you into a great head coach is the biggest joke ever, okay? Do you command respect, all right? Can you lead men? Can you get them to buy into what you're selling, all right? If I'm playing for Cliff Kingsbury, I'm looking at him, I'm like, what is it that you're selling that gets me interested in buying into it at all? You have no pelts on the wall. You've had no success at any level other than – when you were position coach at A&M, right? And I think University of Houston before that. Other than that, you have no real pelts on the wall. It's going to be a really hard thing for him to get guys to buy into it just because, he's got the looks. And, what is it? Now it's about marketing. Now it's about marketing to the blue hairs out in Arizona. He's a good-looking guy. He's a great face for our franchise. And he coach men. Can he coach men? Can he get men to buy into what he's selling? I'm not so sure. I just think that is such a wrong direction to go. Football player is still very primal, and you got to get guys to respect you, to want to play hard for you. And I look at Cliff, and I just go, I just don't think he's ready yet. I don't think he's seasoned enough, and I think he needs to be at the NFL level, accomplish something at the NFL level before taking on a job. Like sometimes it pisses me off that guys think they're – worthy of head coaching jobs. And I'm like, no offense, and I'm a big fan of Vance Joseph. We played together at Colorado. I could have told I could have told Vance before he took that Denver job, you're not ready, man. You need more seasoning. You weren't ready. And it turned out to be true.
No, he got his ass kicked in Denver.
How about this Freddie Kittens? But seriously, I didn't realize this whole backstory. He was only a coordinator for that half season.
Correct.
Yeah.
His whole career was just a position coach.
Yeah.
Wherever he's been, he wasn't even – he did a bunch of time in college. He never even coordinated in college.
I mean, the emphasis being placed on the quarterback now and the coach's ability to sort of connect and develop the quarterbacks off the charts.
But how does he now become the CEO of the whole thing, which is what that job is, after you've never been more than a position – and he's mostly been a running back or quarterback coach or tight end coach as I'm looking. So there's some positional groups like Dante, you know, commands 8, 9, 10 guys, right?
Right.
You know, those are big positional groups. When you're a running back, quarterback, or tight end coach,
you get three or four
three
guys.
Three at most. You're coaching three guys. Now you're going to have a 90-man roster? Like, how do you do that?
Don't you think, though, you guys, that the Kitchens hire was more about Baker Mayfield?
Of course.
Absolutely.
So, I could see Baker Mayfield – walking into John Dorsey's office, or John calling Baker. Hey, buddy. Hey, pal.
Who do you like?
Who do you like?
Well, I like
Freddie.
Like
this guy.
I like kittens.
Yeah.
Bring in the kittens.
And then there you go. So I think my feeling is, like, Baker probably wields a lot of power there already, you know, and then he has influence maybe at the highest level. Or it's scary.
I mean, good player, but a little bit of a knucklehead.
It's given a young guy who's got a lot of moxie and a lot of upside, but also can be a first-class a-hole, too, a lot of power early on in his career, and that usually doesn't end well.
Long commercial-free segment is next. We'll take your calls, I promise.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Does it wear you at all? You kind of mentioned it there that you haven't beaten him throughout your career.
No, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, it's not something, you know, you think about a whole lot. I mean, I think it's it exists and it's there. And but again, I mean this. I don't feel that I'm playing Tom. Certainly, it's a Tom Brady led team, and we know how things work with the quarterback and head coach or who has the record attached to it. But I we got a heck of a challenge. Our offense going against that defense, and how disciplined they play and how well they play, especially this time of year. So we got our work cut out on that side of the ball. But, I think you're aware of that stat that is out there, but it's not something that I spend much time thinking about.
That's Philip Rivers, 0-7, lifetime against Brady. Ted Johnson, who's joining us in studio, thinks that's a factor. We'll see if it is. Let's wrap it up with some phone calls here for Ted. And Ted came in and gave us all these reasons why the Pats are going to win. I was hoping for the other thing, but, you know, what are you going to do? Griffin and Swampscott, why the Pats will beat the Chargers. Go ahead, Griffin.
Hey, Felgy. First time, long time. I mean, I know Phil's got like 12 kids with like 8 different wives, but he's not coming into Foxborough in January and beating Tommy Terrific. Thanks, guys. I'll hang up with him.
Okay, yeah, no, that's a good objective.
You got
objective,
the players
Jake.
Mixed up.
Okay.
It's the same woman, I think.
I think it was the same wife, but, you know, whatever. Ted, so for Philip Rivers specifically,
yeah,
might be his last kick at the can. I keep saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't think he is. I don't want him to be.
He's
but
a Hall of Famer.
I'm just telling you, they're going to –
Hall of Famer.
Peter Kings of the world, they vote these quarterbacks in. He's going to be in.
And one of you guys had Eli Manning in front of Philip Rivers.
I do.
You're crazy.
I don't.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But we won't. We don't have
okay,
that.
So
we don't
anyway,
need to sidetrack.
So
no, it's all right. I'll rip you after you leave.
Great quarterback, a Hall of Fame, quarterback. 15 years in the league, might be his last kick at the can.
Yeah.
Don't tell me he's going to come here with his last real chance to win a Super Bowl. You know, maybe that's his mindset, and get freaked out by the weather. or his past record against Brady? Like, don't tell me that's really gonna impact him.
I don't know if it's gonna impact Philip Rivers that much. I really don't. But I'm thinking those factors could factor in just for the collective team. You know, maybe not Philip Rivers. You're right. He's seen it all. He's done it all. He's got a. Do you know? Look, it took Elway, Terrell Davis to get himself. A Super Bowl ring. You know, Drew Brees now has a running game to help and a defense to help him maybe achieve what we all think he may achieve in the NFC, at least represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. You know, Philip Rivers now has a balanced team. You've talked about it before. I mean, he hasn't had great coaching. The defense, he's never had like a really legit defense. So now, you know, he's got those things. You know, he does. So he's got a really good defense. He's got a good running game. He's got a good offensive line, and he's got weapons on. So I think he's got – there's more pressure on him now than ever before because this defense for the Patriots, this is an average defense. Every average show, this should be a defining moment in his career, Philip Rivers. But you come in, you see those five banners, you've never beaten them before, you get down early in the game, you get a little tight. Well, things can change.
So you do think, though, that he is the kind of guy that will make a mistake at some point in the game. Like you referenced that you said if we were in meetings, Belichick's the kind of guy who would say, you know, Rivers is going to throw you one. Yeah. You believe there's a mistake coming.
I do. I think he's got it in him. Whether or not the Patriots, you know, make him pay is one thing. We will see. And I think what the Patriots are going to do is, and I think what they have to do is they have to blitz him. Okay, they have to blitz him. And then this team started having more of an aggressive mindset as far as blitzing after the bye week. And it proved, you know, to be a worthwhile thing. I mean, this is a defense. And a lot of people ask me this is, you know, do you scheme up a defense when you have really great players or do you scheme it up because they're not that talented? You scheme it up because they're not that talented. Do you know, our defense has made our living off of one front and one coverage. 34 cover two. Basic cover two, seven-man front. We could stop the run without bringing an eighth guy in, so we always had two safeties deep for Peyton Manning and those little windows right there. Ty Law, thank you very much. Intercept. This team, you have to be creative. They don't have, at each line of defense, they don't have great players, so they have to scheme, and so they're going to have to be creative in their blitzes, and they're going to have to disguise because Philip Rivers will wait to the very end of the play clock before he pulls the trigger, so he wants to see exactly what you're going to be in. So they have to be very disciplined in their disguising.
We only have a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on Tom Brady on the field and what you've seen from him off the field.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't think he's at the beginning of anything. I think he still can play a high level for the next two or three years because he does it with his brain, all right? He is the best at what he does because of this, not because, you know, of his athleticism, okay? And he's still got velocity, and he's still very accurate, but it's this decision-making. So I think he can still play at a high level.
What have you seen from him this year and recently?
I'm a little bit surprised what I'm seeing off the field. The Tom versus time thing, the release of it was very self-serving last year, a shocker to me. You're going into the biggest game, and you're doing this? And then the release of this last interview with Chopra, going into the divisional round, just totally uncharacteristic. He's just, and people ask me all the time, you guys, well, what's Tom Brady like? I'm like, I can tell you what he was when I played with him, but he's a different guy now. And so it's just shocking to me. One of the most shocking things to me was the Seth Wickersham article last year. Alex Guerrero gets access? He has an office? I couldn't believe that. That was news to me. So I didn't know about any of that. Shocking to me that he was given that kind of privileges because what made this thing work for so long is that Belichick coached him as hard as he coached the last guy on the bench, very much like the San Antonio Spurs philosophy, okay? Tim Duncan, right? Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, they got their asses chewed out just as hard as the guys at the end of the bench, and so that's what made it work. Tom's given different privileges, and he's, given leniency here and there, and then that foundation starts to crack, and it's just not quite the same.
Well, and when you hear him, like Jimmy, you got his interview with Jimmy there. I mean, just a couple little things like,
oh, my God.
You know, well, I mean, Ted, when you hear things like this, just play one of those, Jimmy.
You know, my muscles just absorb the forces and disperse the forces as well as they ever have.
Yeah. Okay, when you hear that, or here's this one. How about this one, Jimmy, the other one?
And my brain is wired for contact.
Yeah, I'll be honest, and I love Tom. It made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. It was, you know, and I have to say it, it was very irresponsible for Tom to talk like that. Okay, my brain's wired for contact. So what, Kevin Turner's wasn't? Junior Seau's wasn't? Justin Strelzniak's brain wasn't? Andre Waters' brain wasn't wired for contact, but yours is? So it was very insensitive, and I thought irresponsible to talk
Well, so,
like that.
I mean, he's claiming his brain exercises and the TB12 method can wire your brain for contact. Do you believe that?
I don't. It's just I haven't seen it in the medical journals, right? It's in his book, right? But I haven't seen any other scientists back it up and validate it. Until that happens, then maybe I'll start taking it serious. But until that time, it just seems very irresponsible.
I said this yesterday. I just got to get it off my chest. Part of me, okay, because I respect the player. Part of me is so sick of hearing him talk about this crap. It's driving me crazy.
He's my favorite athlete ever, and I still love rooting for him, Ted. But he's still, to me, he's an unrelatable weirdo off the field.
Do you think there's so much success? And you're a god. You're called the greatest to ever play this position. When you still have meaningful years to play, it gets to your head.
Well, here's what I think. I mean, he ain't the only one. I think there's a subset, this really tiny subset of super successful, super rich people who just get kind of goofy.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how to quite describe it.
You're right.
Yeah, I call it believing your own bullcrap. That's what I call it. Believing your own bullcrap.
In its simplest terms, that's it. They're told how great they are, and they lose sense of reality.
Is he still good enough to lead you to a championship?
Yes.
If it comes down to him, if they got to score 35 points this week, 35 points next, 35 points in the Super Bowl, can he do it?
Yes.
He can.
He can still get it done.
I listen to you fill in, Ted, on all these shows, and you're dumping on the Patriots, and you're criticizing him, and you come in here, and it's like I'm talking to freaking Matt Chatham or something. Did someone get to you before you came in here?
You know what? You should have been talking to me all throughout the whole season. This game, it's just different.
Oh, my God.
I think they got the Chargers in this game.
Okay, we did no grab ass. Can I just ask one thing really quickly? Because I'm sure people are asking if they're watching on NBC Sports Boston. You're freaking huge. Like, your arms, like, Ted.
Thanks for noticing.
No. You look like you're bigger than when you played almost.
I you know what it is, Mike, Tony, and Jim? My salvation is working out.
Sure. Jesus.
That's what gives me my juice. And when I'm taking care of myself physically, everything else falls in line for me.
Sound body, mind.
It keeps me out of trouble, man. So I hit the gym regularly.
Good
it's
Lord.
My juice, boys.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to Foxborough in the next day or two, buy a number 52 jersey, except it says Roberts. And I'd like you to get in there and take his spot on Sunday. Because that guy can't play either.
Ted, thanks for coming in.
Guys, it's good to see you. Right. Thanks for having me.
All right, you'll hear Ted Johnson on the Sports Hub, but periodically, this weekend, right? You're on this weekend?
On Saturday, 2 to 5.
Okay, listen. Excellent. Thanks again, Teddy.
You bet, guys.
We'll take a 90-second commercial, and it's not a commercial. It's just the opposite. A 90-second update without commercials, and we come back. We've taken a few calls this hour, so I promise. We'll pound through these calls here the next two segments, so join us, why don't you?
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.